Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Get updates and show information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Your host is former Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Minnesota National Guard, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. Whether you're with us on a Minnesota station, on our national broadcast, or listening on your favorite podcast, we're glad that you're here. Today, it's all about the American Legion with the Department of Minnesota Commander and the National Commander both here in the studio with me. With me here is Dan Wiley, the National Commander of the American Legion. He was elected on August 28th in 2025. He's an Air Force veteran, a retired state district court judge, and he raises cattle in Leavenworth, Kansas. Also here is Linda Dvorak, the American Legion Department of Minnesota Commander, elected in July of 2025. She retired from the Minnesota Air National Guard in 2002 as a senior master sergeant, and then continued serving with the Minnesota National Guard as a federal employee until 2019. Dan and Linda, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. It's great to be here, and it's great to be here in the great state of Minnesota.
Well, we're glad that you're here, and I know that, you know, as we're recording today, the Veterans Day on the Hill is taking place, so you guys had to leave the armory over in St. Paul to come over to the studio so we could record this special show, and we'll talk a little bit about that later on in the show. But before we do that, how about if we get to know the both of you a little bit, and I'll start with you, Dan. Tell us a little bit about your military service and ultimately what led you into the American Legion and why you are where you are.
Well, I served in the United States Air Force. I served from 1986 to 1990. I served in a missile wing in Great Falls, Montana. Enjoyed that. I then got out, went to law school, and eventually became a district court judge. When I got out of the American Legion, went back to a community, looked for ways to serve my community, and one of those was the American Legion. And my family had a long history of service in the American Legion, including my grandfather, who had been a 34-year member of the American Legion. So it was, I think, natural to transition back into an organization that gives back to the community.
And your journey, you know, did you go through the typical ranks or positions inside the American Legion and, you know, get to the state level and obviously at the national level? But how did all that transpire?
Well, I would say generally the answer is yes. You know, I was like most people, you come back home, you join the American Legion. Within 2 years of my American Legion post, which had 600 or 700 members, I found myself as the commander of the American Legion within a couple of years. And so I did a lot of things. And then, frankly, I took some time off because I had teenage kids and I had been appointed a district court judge. I had a lot of things to do. And then once my kids graduated from high school I had a lot of extra free time, shall we say, got more back involved in the community, and the American Legion was one of those. And I had mentors who mentored me along the way and encouraged me to keep moving up to the next level, though, frankly, I never had a goal of the next level. I was just working where I was and trying to do the best job I could at the level I was. But they encouraged me, and I did go through the department chairs, vice commander and commander, and ultimately got endorsed then to be national commander.
Right. And so, you know, obviously you've been in the national commander position since 2025. How long is the term?
It's a one-year term.
Okay.
You get elected, you serve 1 year, and during that term, you will travel to all 50 states. We travel about 340 days of the year. We'll go to 10 or 12 foreign countries. We've been to D.C. 6 or 7 times, including being in the Oval Office, being with the Secretary of the VA multiple times in Washington, D.C. So you get to see every little bit of the country, including the great state of Minnesota.
And I would imagine that's probably why it's a one-year term, because you couldn't do that for multiple years of traveling as much as you are this year.
You know, you have opportunities you'll never have again, but you are absolutely right. 340 days on the road. This is a 7-day-a-week, 12 to 14-hour-a-day job. And so it is taxing, and no, I wouldn't want to do it more than 1 year. So
yeah, well, and it's, you know, you've got good people around you. You've got your aide with you who's, of course, keeping you on track, taking photos. And, you know, it's good to have good people supporting you along the way.
I've got great people supporting me, including my wife and including the aide. But also you go into departments just like the Department of Minnesota, They have a top-notch commander, a great adjutant, as that's replicated throughout our country. And so those are all great people putting forth the mission of the American Legion at the state and then local level.
Yeah, awesome. Well, because you mentioned it, let's move on over to our department commander here in Minnesota, Linda Dvorak. Linda, you and I met when I first moved into the senior enlisted leader position. So back in like 2014, you were working up on the fourth floor then, and look at you now. You're the department commander. It's great to see you again. So let's hear a little bit about your military service and, you know, your involvement in the American Legion and, you know, ultimately becoming the department commander.
Okay, well, you know, I enlisted in 1976 into the Air National Guard.
When we say years like that, though, we have to say 1900 and...
Oh, 1976.
There, thank you.
Yeah. 1976. Yeah, so I enlisted, and then I became full-time almost right away as a federal employee. And about 5 years into it, I was at the state headquarters level. I went down to the base level, and then I became active duty. And I retired after 27 years in the Air Guard.
Wow.
And as an E-8.
Yeah.
Senior Master Sergeant. And then my good friend, Sandy Best.
Oh, yeah. We all know Sandy Best, General Best, of course.
She calls me up and says, Linda, I need your help. You have got to come back in here and help me with these people. So I said, okay.
The Army people, I assume.
I'm sure. Yeah. So I did. I came back, and I actually served another 15 years. So I have 42 years of service with our military. And one thing that is very special to me is in 2015 – the adjutant general and the governor thought it would be good idea to brevet promote me to chief. So in the state of Minnesota, I can wear chief rank. But if I'm not in Minnesota, I have to wear my E-8.
Sure. And how long have you been involved with the American Legion here in Minnesota?
Oh, gosh, probably 2010.
Okay.
Well, no, probably a little bit before that.
And so tell us about some of those, that transition moving up the ranks, so to speak.
Well, I'll let you know that my very first encounter with the American Legion at our post level, I went into the meeting with my husband, who is also a veteran, and I was told that the women meet on the other side.
Oh.
Yeah. The auxiliary meets over there. And I said, no, I'm a veteran.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So then the commander at the time was a Korean vet. He says, well, you know, I need an adjutant, and women are good secretaries, so why don't you be my adjutant? So I did the adjutant at the post level, then the district level, and I just kept going up.
Yeah, and you've held other positions too, so tell us about that.
The other positions.
Let's see, what else were you a senior ranking person of?
Senior ranking.
Hmm. Other involvement within the auxiliary, within the...
Well, I was the unit president of our auxiliary just this past year.
There you go. See, so you have leadership in your blood, and now you're the department commander here in Minnesota. It's a 1-year assignment as well, right?
Unless you're my husband.
Right, who during COVID got two. And so I would assume, because I know you're always in competition with Mark, that maybe you would go for no? 1 year's enough? Yeah, well, hey, thank you. Thank you for being here. Yeah. And to both of you, really, to your for your commitment to our veterans, because we know that our veteran service organizations are extremely important, and they're great organizations to be a part of. And so before we run out of time, I just want to maybe get a little bit of history about the American Legion. We'll have just a couple of minutes. Dan, I'll start with you. If you've got the history, or maybe you defer it over to the department commander, but really, how long has the American Legion been around? And, you know, really, when did it start?
Well, the American Legion was founded in 1919 by veterans of the Army Expeditionary Forces, primarily that were still, frankly, stuck in Europe after the end of World War I. Even though the World War I ended on November 11th, 1918, it was months before those troops come home. And they wanted to support those troops, and so they started this organization that eventually became the American Legion with the Paris Caucus, roughly March 15th through 17th of 1919. And since that time, it's grown into the largest veterans organization in the country with 1.5 million members. We also have an auxiliary, which is female descendants of veterans. and also husbands or spouses of veterans. And they comprise about 600,000 members of our family. And then we have an organization called the Sons of the American Legion, mm-hmm. which are the male descendants of veterans, and they are a little over 400,000. So we have about 2.5 million members in the American Legion family. We have a long history of service to the community and advocacy in Congress. For example, the American Legion is the organization that not only wrote but then caused the GI Bill to get passed through Congress, for example, in 1944. And I tell people, a lot of people don't know this, it was the American Legion who was the impetus behind getting Agent Orange to be declared a cancerous or a toxin. We funded a study in 1983 through Columbia University that ultimately got submitted to Congress, and it passed Congress in 1991 with the Agent Orange Act. So I tell people, if you receive benefits by reason of exposure to Agent Orange, that was the American Legion that was the impetus behind getting that passed through Congress. So we have a long history of both advocacy in Congress, but also support at the local level. We, in many places, are the pillar of the communities across this country in our over 12,000 posts.
That's awesome. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about the American Legion. We'll talk about some of the projects you have going on, initiatives. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. In the studio with me from the American Legion is the National Commander, Dan Wiley, and the American Legion Department of Minnesota Commander, Linda Dvorak. And Linda, as just before we went into break, we, of course, got a nice history of the American Legion. I'm wondering if you might want to share, really, why do we need to have an American Legion, though? Like, what is the purpose of an American Legion?
Well, we're there to support our veterans. You know, we are made up of four pillars. We have the Americanism pillar, children and youth, national security, and veterans and rehabilitation pillar. And we do a lot of programs within those pillars that not only help veterans, but they also help children and youth in our community and spouses and the whole family. And I think it's needed.
Now, Dan, as you travel the country, you're 340 days out of the year. Obviously, you're visiting, trying to, I would imagine, get to as many posts as you can in each of the different states or territories. Is that part of the conversation, just to make sure that everybody's still in lockstep and supporting what that American Legion purpose is?
Well, I think as we visit, and we'll end up hitting about 900 of those 12,000 posts across this country, it's multifold the reasons we visit these local posts. One is it is a morale boost to come into a post as national commander. It's important for them. But we also get to see what they do at the local level and take those ideas that they have at the local level and maybe share them. You know, we have 12,000 posts, and there's more posts in this country than there are Walmarts. In fact, there's more with 500 and roughly 15 posts in Minnesota. There's twice as many posts as there are McDonald's. And the nice thing about it is every post is different, and everybody does things a little different. We have an outline, as Commander mentioned, about the four pillars, but what they do within an actual post, there's no cookie cutter one way to do all things. Mm-hmm. And so they all do things differently to support those communities, as all our communities are different. So it's important to go in and see what they're doing, listen to them, and also take that grassroots feedback back to our advocacy in Washington, D.C.
Now, one of the things that I know you're focusing on at the national level is really trying to get after this veteran suicide epidemic, and you have something that's called Be the One. And I'm hoping you might be able to spend a few minutes and talk to us a little bit about Be the One, the importance of it, and what it's really doing for our veterans that suffer with some type of a mental health crisis.
Well, veteran suicide is the most significant issue affecting our veterans, and it doesn't just affect our veterans. It affects their families. It affects the communities that they live in. And we have partnered with Columbia University on something called the Columbia Protocol. I would encourage first and foremost everyone to go to our website, betheone.org. But Be the One basically stands for Be the One to Make a Difference, Be the One to Step Up and Help Veteran Suicide. And this Columbia Protocol training, which is available online, you can see the resources at betheone.org, will teach people what to do with regard to individuals that are in crisis, what questions to ask, and based upon those answers that are received to the questions asked, be able to tell how much in crisis this person currently is. And then it will give you the resources in this training to know what to do, whether it's as simple as refer them to the suicide hotline 988, or whether it's to stay with them until the crisis is passed, or whether it's to take them to some kind of clinic or mental health hospital. But, you know, it's the stigma. We're trying to reduce the stigma associated with mental health, because all of us who served in the military, basically you were always told to tough it up. We didn't go to sick call unless you were about to die, and then some people didn't go to sick call then either.
Right.
And so it's kind of a tough bunch, but it doesn't face reality in this world. You know, 1 in 5 people in their lifetime will have a depressive episode. And so having a depressive episode just means you're normal. And we need to let people understand that it's okay not to be okay. It's okay to need help. And in the American Legion, we got your back. We're always going to stand by you.
Do you think that we're making progress on that? Here's why I asked the question. You know, there's statistics that'll say 22 veterans per day take their own life. In Minnesota, I think the number's still about 100 a year take their own life. And, you know, you talk about trying to reduce this stigma. That's something that I was preaching in a leadership position when I was still serving. And so I'm just wondering if you guys at your level, the information you get, the interactions you've had with others, do you see that stigma actually being removed, or is it something we just keep talking about but the needle really isn't moving?
I think the answer to your question, and you'll like this, is both yes and no. I think the statistics are difficult to deal with, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it. We still have an epidemic when it comes to suicide. But as you mentioned, we're having the conversation that we didn't have 35 years ago when I was in the military. We didn't talk about mental health. We didn't talk about suicide. Those were taboo subjects. So first and foremost, we're having the conversation that we didn't have 30 years ago. And secondly, as I travel this country and meet the hundreds of people that I meet, I guarantee you I hear stories from firsthand stories from people that come up to me about the impact it's had on their life and that it has saved their life. So I know for a fact there are people's lives we've saved by virtue of our Be the One campaign and our focus on veteran suicide. And I would assert to you, I understand the numbers, but any life we worth saving has been worth reaching out to them and saving that life.
Yeah, one more. If we can just save one more life, right?
Keep Absolutely.
On doing it, keep talking about it. And Linda, is this something that you talk about as you get out and visit the posts in Minnesota?
Oh, we have the coalition, and we, you know, urge people to go to the website. And when we have our conferences, yes, it is.
Yeah. And I think to your point, Dan, is one, go and just read and understand the resources, because it might not be today, but is probably pretty assured that you will find yourself in a position where you are either dealing with something personally or with someone across the table from you, and you want to at least know where to go or have an idea what you should do and maybe what question you should ask.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, because we're as humans, by human nature, I think we're empathetic, but we don't necessarily know when we're approached by somebody that's in crisis. It's not necessarily intuitive what to do. And by taking this training, there's a level of comfort if you've taken the training and read the resources, that then if you are put in a situation where you have to act, there's a level of comfort on your own part in acting because you've had this training and you know what to do.
Yeah. I want to shift gears a little bit. I do want to let you know that I just received yesterday my flags from the American Legion because I do order my flags through there. And obviously, it's a veteran organization. You're very patriotic. This year happens to be the 250th anniversary of our independence. So talk to us, Dan, about nationally or what you can tell us about how the American Legion is celebrating the 250th anniversary.
Well, we're doing a couple of things at the national level. First and foremost, we're just telling our posts across this country that during the semi-quincentennial to do something in your community as part of the post. Because we believe the American Legion are the leaders in patriotism. As the commander mentioned earlier, we have a pillar called Americanism, which is preserving our form of government, observing our patriotic traditions. You know, the American Legion, you mentioned flags, wrote the flag code. And so being the leaders in the largest patriotic organization, veterans organization, we're just asking Post, maybe you open up for a July 4th celebration to the public, maybe you participate in a parade, something of that nature. The other thing we're doing at the national level is something called the 250 Challenge, where we just encourage people to do one of three things, something of a physical nature like committing to doing 250 miles, something of community service like 250 hours of community service, or mental well-being. Maybe it's 250 buddy checks, which are something that's big in our organization. So that's how we're participating at the national level with regard to this semi-quincentennial.
in Linda, 250. I mean, it's a pretty big deal. Obviously, we've got Patriots everywhere. So in Minnesota, is there some effort being put into gatherings or some festivities from the Minnesota department?
Yeah, well, we're encouraging them again for the Post to do what they feel they can do for celebrating the 250 years.
Yeah, and of course, we know that, as Dan had already mentioned, right? I mean, every post is different. Every post is unique. And some have their own building, some don't. Some have a lot of members, some don't. And I think at the end of the day, the important thing is that, you know, 250 years is a pretty big accomplishment. But yet, we're still pretty young, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
Well, those of us in this room anyway, right?
Right.
All right. So before we get into the next topic, I just want to give you an opportunity again, Dan. Tell us one more time about Be the One. Let's close out that, and then we'll move into some other things in the next segment.
Well, I think it's important, Be the One. If you take nothing else away from this, please go to our website, BeTheOne.org. We also have an app that will have the Columbia Protocol training on there. But BeTheOne.org is the website where we have all the resources that you can review to see what's available from the American Legion to help fight the epidemic of veteran suicide.
That's awesome. Okay, we're going to take another quick break here. Then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about kind of the American Legion's role in supporting our veterans. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We will be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. Today, it's all about the American Legion. We've got the Department of Minnesota commander with us, Linda Dvorak, and the national commander with us, Dan Wiley. And as we went into the this break in the last segment, and we're talking about some pretty intense things, right? Important things to talk about, removing that stigma about suicide, extremely important. We talked about celebrating our 250th anniversary of independence. And what I want to talk about now is get into a little bit more about what the American Legion does to help our veterans. There's a lot of veteran service organizations out there, and all of our VSOs are important, I believe. But let's talk specifically about the Legion. What are some of the things that you try to do, Dan, as it relates to taking care of and supporting our veterans?
Well, one of the biggest things we do falls under the pillar of Veteran Affairs and Rehabilitation, and that is representing veterans through the disability process with the Veterans Administration. That we have veteran service officers, and we have something called the Veterans and Children's Foundation at the national level, which provides funds for training of veteran service officers, and all American Legion service officers are then accredited. They represent veterans who want to be represented. They sign up with the American Legion representative. They don't have to be members of the American Legion. They sign up with us. We represent them for free at every level of the disability process, including the appellate level. So we represent all veterans. We do it for free. And these people are accredited, so they are the best in the business at what they do. And in 2025 alone, American Legion veteran service officers returned to veterans $29.5 billion. That's billion with a B, to veterans through the disability process. And to me, that's a win-win-win, because it goes to the veteran then to help them survive, and that assists our main mission of Be the One in veteran suicide. It also supports their family, and it supports those communities. And so it helps veterans get the funds they're entitled to because of their service-connected disability. And to me, that's one of the biggest things we do as an American Legion.
And you mentioned twice, at least I think it was twice, the word accredited. And I think it's important to really touch on that a little bit, because one of the things we were talking about ahead of the show today was the importance of having an accredited veteran service officer serve our veterans, because of this conversation that's been going on about claim sharks. And I just want to know if you want to comment at all about that.
Well, there's a lot of discussions about the claim sharks. And, of course, the American Legion is generally opposed to these claim sharks and what they do. They represent veterans. They take a fee, which, by the way, you can't even charge a fee for a veteran in their initial disability benefits process, only until the appellate level. And my point would be there's no reason to go to these claim sharks because, number one, we represent you for free. We represent all veterans, not just American Legion members, and frankly, we're better at what we do because this is what we do, and they are accredited and specifically trained, and a lot of these claim sharks aren't trained. Their interest isn't necessarily helping veterans. Their interest is making a profit, and we are not making a profit off the veterans in the disability process because we do it for free.
Yeah, I think that can't be stressed enough in that this is a service provided for free. And again, to your point, you're accredited and very, very well trained. Now, that's your foundation, Linda. As the department commander, we know that there's some projects that you have as a commander. But there's another thing, since we're talking about foundations and funds, there's this Fund 85. Can you remind our audience a little bit about that?
Oh, absolutely. So my project for the year is twofold. I am working to have some tables and benches put at the new military and Veterans Museum up at Camp Ripley, which will open on September 12th, I believe, and also Fund 85, which is the Veterans Assistance Fund. It's a Minnesota fund, and we help veterans in immediate need. So let's say somebody needs their car fixed, and they don't have the funds to fix their car. They can't get to work if they don't have a car, so then you know it's right. Just a snowball effect. So that's my part of my project as well. And I want to let you know that my goal was $100,000 for the two projects, and I have surpassed my goal, so I'm very happy.
See, you don't need 2 years in position No. to achieve that goal, right? So you've already beaten Mark.
Yeah, I did. But I also want to let you know that since its inception, which I believe was 2021, we have given back to veterans for these their grants over $500,000.
Wow, that's fantastic. And I would assume there's some eligibility stuff, right, and some criteria, but you don't have to go through as much red tape, I would believe, than maybe some other organizations or even from the state getting some benefits from the state.
Yeah, there's some forms to fill out and some processes to go through, but yeah.
So if a veteran's in need, would they just stop into their local American Legion? Do you have to be an American Legion member? Is it something open to all veterans? What does that look like?
You know, they should be veterans, and I believe that they need to be a Legion member. But I'm not for sure. No, they don't need to be. I'm just getting told they don't need to be a Legion
You're going to help
member.
Out a veteran because a veteran's a veteran's a veteran, yeah.
Correct.
Well, sometimes it's good to have the national commander with you here too, right?
Yeah. But if they just go to our website, mnlegion.org, and they can learn more about Fund 85 and how to process or how to request a grant.
And you touched on it briefly with the Minnesota Military and Veterans Museum. The grand opening is going to be in September. What other involvement have you had with the museum?
I'm on the board of directors. I'm in charge of personnel. So I help them. You know, I've helped them with getting some more board members and doing some job descriptions and, you know, those kinds of things.
Have you been up to the museum lately?
We just were out. We took the national commander on a tour of the
And so
museum.
How's it looking? Just so our audience can know. I know there's a live feed. They can go see from the outside. But how are we looking on the inside?
On the inside, it looks pretty dang good. It's the last time I was in it, there was no walls up. It was just, you know, bare everything. Yeah. And now they've got some walls up and it's looking good. I think they got a helicopter in there.
They did get the helicopter in there now. Okay.
A tank in there. Yeah, wow. And so they got a lot of
things
coming
along.
Going
well, we're looking forward to the grand opening in September. Before we run out of time in this segment, though, I want to direct this to both of you because you talked about your funds, the Veterans and Children's Foundation, Fund 85. How can somebody go to get more information about the foundation, about your fund, if they want to donate? So, Dan, I'll start with you.
I think the easiest way to get information is simply go to legion.org. That's our main website for all stuff Legion, and you can certainly do a search there for the Veterans and Children's Foundation. If you do a search, just a Google search for a Veterans and Children's Foundation, it'll come up too. But if you go to legion.org, that's the one-stop shop for all stuff Legion, all the information.
Awesome.
And ours is mnlegion.org.
There you go. All right. So go there, check it out, get more information about that. In the last minute and a half here, let's quickly talk about membership, though. Dan, you'd mentioned the number of members, but are you still looking for members in the American Legion?
Oh, we're always looking for members, and membership is important because with membership is our voice in Washington, D.C., and obviously being the largest veterans organization in this country, we have the most significant voice for veterans in Washington, D.C., but we have to maintain that voice, and part of maintaining that voice is having the numbers And so in order to continue to be the leading voice for veterans and advocate for veterans and all the things we do, we obviously need people to keep joining and renewing in the American Legion.
And Linda, here in Minnesota, you know, we're on 70 stations across Minnesota. It's likely that a service member is listening. Can you tell us what do you need for eligibility, and then how would they also become a member?
Well, you need to have one day of active duty since December 14th.
December 7th, Pearl Harbor.
Oh, Pearl Harbor Day.
There we go.
So one day of active duty, and you can't have a dishonorable discharge.
Important.
Yep. And then just contact, you know, you can look up where the Legions are. You can go to mnlegion.org and find a post in the state. And
yeah, a lot of people, too, to that degree, don't understand if they're on active duty or in the Guard. You're eligible to join now. You don't have to wait until you retire. You're eligible to join even if you haven't retired, don't have that DD 214 if you're still in the Guard or on active duty.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. Well, hopefully we can drive some membership for you, because we do know how important that is, especially when we're talking about legislative issues. And we're going to talk about some legislative stuff in our final segment today. So please stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I have Dan Wiley in the studio with me. He's the National Commander of the American Legion. Also, Linda Dvorak, the American Legion Department of Minnesota Commander, join us all segment for this special American Legion show. And Linda, before we went into break, I kind of teased I want to talk about some legislative things. Earlier in the intro, I'd mentioned that you all came from Veterans Day on the Hill today to do this recording with us. And the Veterans Day on the Hill is a great event. You get all of the veterans together, as Barry called it when I interviewed him a few weeks ago, hats on the hill. And, you know, everybody, all the veterans are going to march up to the Capitol Rotunda, you know, be loud and boisterous, get fired up by Trent. But one of the things that is extremely important is to talk about why. Why is it so important to have an event like Veterans Day on the Hill? And then what is that one thing that in unison our veterans are going to the state legislators for to say this is something we need to get worked on?
Yeah, so the Commander's Task Force, it is a coalition of the 9 congressionally chartered veteran service organizations. So we are going to Capitol to, you know, to make our voice heard on various legislative items. This year we have only one. Sometimes we have more than one item that we're going to be shouting loud about. But this year it's only one, and it is the Disabled Veterans Homestead Market Value Exclusion. This exclusion has not changed for 18 years, and it's time. Time to make that. You know, property taxes are increasing, property values are increasing, but this is not. This exclusion is not increasing. So that's what we're shouting loud about this time.
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate. I've heard stories through conversation with different county veteran service officers talking about how a surviving spouse is actually priced out of their home because of the rate at which property taxes have increased. And, of course, if your income doesn't go up at the same rate, eventually you just can't afford it. So I think this would truly help not only our veterans, but also those surviving spouses as well.
Correct.
And I don't know if you've got the numbers in front of you, but I think at 70%, the exclusion is $150,000, and I think at 100%, it's $300,000. But the request is to just bring it in line over the growth of that last 18 years. So the new exclusion, if you're a 70% disabled veteran, do you know what that would be?
I do not know what that
is. Okay, I think I don't know for sure either. I think it was like 225.
It's 225 and 450.
And 450 for 100,000. Yeah, so real important. And I think this is, you know, really a call to action, right? Our veterans, they should be calling their legislatures and letting them know that this is an important thing. And as it was described when we were getting the preview of Veterans Day on the Hill, this is going to be an opportunity for the our elected officials to vote yes or no on something to see if we can get this omnibus through and pass this one bill. So extremely important. Anything else you want to add on that one there? Okay, then let's switch gears real quick for you. You were involved with raising some funds for Sophia Forchez. And I'm just wondering if you might want to talk a little bit about what that was all about and how successful that was.
Yeah, so Sophia was one of the children that was shot at the Annunciation Catholic Church school when there was a mass shooting. And she had severe brain injury. And her grandfather is the commander of Hellenic Post 129, and her dad is an SAL member of the same squadron. So they reached out to us to see if we could do anything, and I put out a call to all the posts, and they had a goal of $1.3 million to raise for this girl's medical expenses and helping when their parents were going to visit and all that. And we raised $1.2
million. Wow.
I'm not going to say it was all Legion, but we did do our fair share. So that's what we do as a Legion. We get out there and help our community.
I think that's an important thing, Dan, isn't it? You know, you talk about the American Legion. You're obviously visiting, you know, nationwide, but you must be impressed, or at least I would believe you would be, about the number of things and how local posts can actually impact that local community.
You see it everywhere you go. You especially see it here in Minnesota because Minnesotans are by nature a generous group that gives back to the community. But that's exactly what we do in the posts 12,000 times across this country is we take care of one another. We have your back in the American Legion. So I appreciate that.
And I like what you said before, and that is you're taking care of veterans because they served our country, not because they're a member of the Legion, although that would be great. But, you know, let's take care of our veterans and then, of course, take care of our community, too, because strong communities are a benefit to everybody.
I can tell you that during the shutdown last fall, 50 or 60 days or whatever that was, we had posts across this country that weren't only taking care of veterans and their families. They were taking care of an entire community with food pantries and anybody that was in a hardship. So the American Legion is really a pillar in the communities, taking care of the community as a whole, even though our main focus is veterans and their families.
So we've got about 3.5 or 4 minutes left here. And one of the things that we've talked about on this show before, but it's not very well known, and I want to give you an opportunity to talk about the Major Richard Starr Act. And so maybe you can just re-inform our listening audience what it is and the importance.
Major Richard Starr served his country in the Middle East. He was exposed to the burn pits in the Middle East, and by reason of that exposure to the burn pits, ended up having cancer. Cancer eventually took his life. Before cancer took his life, he was medically retired from the Army, not surprisingly, because he had cancer of the lungs. He was rated 100% disabled, so he had a disability claim. He medically retired, he gets his retirement pay, and then the disability claim, he's entitled to compensation because of the sacrifice he made and the injury that he had. But because he didn't have 20 years of service, there's a loophole, a technicality in the statutes that he had to waive his retirement pay dollar for dollar for the disability compensation that he received. And this isn't fair. It's not double dipping. One is for the time you served. The other is for the sacrifice you made, number one. And secondly, we have 54,000 people across this country that are similarly situated to Major Richard Starr that are medically retired and disabled that are forced to waive their disability pay. And the frustrating thing to me is we have roughly 75% of Congress in the House who co-sponsored the Major Richard Starr Act, over 75% of those in the Senate, and we can't get it to a vote. This thing should be overwhelmingly passed. It's overwhelmingly supported. And it's really an injustice to those who serve their country. And so we're asking people to contact your congressperson about supporting the Major Richard Starr Act and getting this thing to a vote.
Yeah, thank you for that information. And wrapping up here with the last 2 minutes, I want to give a minute to you, Linda. Let's talk a little bit about, again, where people can go to get more information about the American Legion here in Minnesota, and then what kind of messaging do you have to those that are listening at every corner of the state right now?
Well, you can go to mnlegion.org to learn all about the Minnesota American Legion. And we are here to support the veterans, the families, and the community. So come and join us.
Well, hey, and thank you for the work that you've done with supporting the Sophia Forchez and, of course, your Fund 85 work and then the efforts to get some funds for helping when we open up that Minnesota Military Veteran Museum. Looking forward to getting that done. So, Linda, thanks so much for joining us here and spending time on on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having us.
All right, Dan, so we're going to give you just over a minute as well. What kind of messaging do you have, would you like to share with the 70 radio stations across Minnesota, national broadcast, and, you know, all those that might be listening?
Well, first and foremost, we ask people, if you're interested in our organization, go to legion.org, take a look at what we do. But we have something for everybody. If you have kids, we have kids programs. We're certainly youth-centered in our programs, whether it's Boys State, Oratorical, baseball, whatever it may be. But we need you as part of a member of this organization to help us take care of others, because that's what the American Legion does. We have a place for you, just like the military had a place for you and the family had a place for you. So help us take care of others by joining our organization and be part of something that's one of the greatest organizations in the world.
And a place for people to go to get more information about you at the national level?
Legion.org.
Legion.org. Super easy. Well, Dan, hey, good luck. Thank you for coming in. Good luck with your travels. And hopefully you'll be able to get back to that cattle farm, right, and spend some time at home here starting next year.
Looking forward to it.
All right, awesome. Well, that was joining us in the studio. That was Dan Wiley, the National Commander of the American Legion, and Linda Dvorak, the American Legion Department of Minnesota Commander. I'd like to thank you, our listening audience, for tuning in to Minnesota Military Radio. We appreciate your continued support. Our goal is to bring you meaningful and informative content each and every week. We do welcome your feedback and your guest suggestions, so please visit MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, click on Contact Us. You can also catch up on past shows on Minnesota Military Podcast, the Minnesota Military Radio Podcast, wherever you do listen to your podcasts, and, of course, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Be sure to tune in next week as we highlight Month of the Military Spouse and get an update from the Minnesota National Guard Youth Camp. I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. Have a productive week, and please take a moment to thank and honor those who have served and those who continue to serve and sacrifice so we can all enjoy the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.